Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollerin, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Maureen Hollerin, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Patty Greer on Crop Circle Phenomena will be joining us, so get ready, because it's going to be a great show. But before we get started, I would like to say hello and welcoming my co-host. Then, also, I'd like to say that we all met last weekend, and that was fantastic. So, hi, Steve.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Maureen. It's been a good week.
It's been a good week. That's good to know. Steve, it was really nice meeting you in person, by the way. I wanted to just make a note of that for everybody to hear. It was lovely.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Steve, could you tell us a bit about your expertise?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium, and I'm interested in all different forms of metaphysics, so I try to blend the different tools together. So I do use tarot occasionally, and I'm particularly very interested in astrology, but my primary gift is mediumship.
And you are such, and you are very good at what you do, I might add. And hello, Brenda.
Hello, Maureen. I'm glad to be here tonight. But unlike Steve, I've had a week from hell.
Yeah.
But I shall rise above it. I'm just glad that we're doing this interesting show, and I'm really looking forward to your guest.
Yes, I am too. And again, Brenda, it was really great meeting you again, and thank you so much. It was really lovely.
It was really fun, wasn't it, meeting everybody?
Yeah, it was. It was. And I look forward to, you know, meeting up with you and Bobby again soon. Well, and Steve, of course, if he flies out. But Brenda, would you please tell everybody about yourself?
Well, I'm a predictive psychic, and I work with all you lovely people at PsychicAccess.com. And I specialize in dates, times, and places. The tools I use are the crystal ball and the tarot cards, primarily. And so that's it.
You're not going to say, there you have it. Okay.
No. I wasn't going to burglarize.
Because I trademarked it, yeah.
Yeah, I just stopped myself, and then I thought, no, it's got the M for Maureen on it.
Just joking. And Brenda is a very interesting, and I'll tell you, you are very good at predictive psychic. You're very good on your time frames, from what I understand other people have told me as well. And fantastic. You're welcome. Bobby?
What?
Oh, Bobby.
I mean, hi, yes, hello.
Bobby, that's much better. That's what you're supposed to be, like, abrupt, and then come back all nice.
And then come back.
Come back nice.
Hi,
superstar. Bobby, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you so much. And
was
I enjoyed
it. Wasn't it on Saturday?
It was really nice, and thank you for being such a sport with my crazy making drama that I caused, but really nice. And Bobby, who are you and what do you do?
Who are you? My name's Bobby Marcheso, and I am a psychic medium as well, also a teacher, guidance into kind of, you know, it's fun, isn't it, to feel this stuff when we're reading or intuiting for other people. And so exciting, in fact, that I like to help other people feel that exact same thing so that they know what it feels like. So it doesn't, you know, like what we do is not such a big mystery, you know what I mean? And so
right.
And then kind of help people in whatever way we can from there.
I like that, Ann. I like that description. Very nice. Thank you, Bobby.
Thanks. And there you have it. I have a thought about it, right?
You'll hear from my attorney later. Okay. So Patty Greer had a life-changing out-of-body experience in the center of a UK crop circle in 2007. Wow. And that was the day her perception of reality was forever changed. She saw and felt things she had never experienced before. She wasn't alone. Within 2 years of that day, Greer had produced 4 full-featured documentaries with no training, experience, or previous interest in filmmaking whatsoever. Her movies focus on UFOs, crop circles, and 2012. She's won 6 prestigious awards and experienced more than 100, that's a lot, UK crop circles personally since 2006. She is a true, quote, croppie, and a firm believer in the phenomena of finding their messages to be very timely. So with that, hello, Patty, how are you?
Hi, good evening, everybody.
And welcome to our show. I'm so happy. We're all looking. There's 4 of us all together on host, but I'm anchoring. So just to let you know when you hear, somebody might have a question. But it's great, and we're really looking forward to the show, having you on and getting all this great information. And thank you. And so you call yourself a croppie. I love it.
Well, I think that's kind of a nickname for all of us that are in the fields on a regular basis.
I guess that, it sounds pretty... That sounds like a pretty good name there to be said. And, you know, it's fascinating, and congratulations on your wonderful work and documentaries on your movies that you've done. That's quite a – and something that you – that's almost like something you had to – I mean, it wasn't like you picked it. It was work you're supposed to be doing. And I love that when I hear about people that, you know, just find their way into what they're supposed to do. So, Patty, with that said – how did you get into this? I mean, were you on vacation? What was going on when you first, you know, connected with the crop circles?
I started in the crop circles accidentally, and I was going through a really terrible case of, I finally know now, mercury poisoning from silver fillings. And for about 7 years, I had to live in gloves and Band-Aids because I was a musician. I played harp and piano since I was 6 years old. And when I went to a dentist to put some dirty fillings in my teeth, is a way to put it. I mean, they're 50% mercury. I'm sorry to say, all of you people out there with silver fillings, they are 50% mercury, 25% silver, and the other 25% is copper, lead, and tin, depending on which... amalgam place they get them from, but they're not good for anybody. And for some reason, I had a really bad reaction. So my dentist lied, and all the doctors gave me the wrong blood test. It's a very strange thing in our country that we're not allowed to be told about the poisons and mercury fillings, probably because of how many class action lawsuits would hit the floor. But I finally got somebody to tell me the truth at the end of 2010. And I got the real test, which is called inorganic mercury blood test. And it's from quicksilverscientific.com. I'll just point that out, that this guy saved my life. You know, a lot of people are going around with a bunch of silver fillings in their mouth, old ones, new ones. But there's a video called The Smoking Tooth. And if any of us watch it, which I've watched a few times, they basically teach us that the mercury in these fillings is off-gassing constantly. So that's a long way of saying I was really badly poisoned. I went to every kind of doctor. I got blood tested, wrong test, and misled for 7 years. So in my desperation to heal in some of my early years was when I began going to the crop circles, which was kind of a surprising way because I had actually given up on humans healing me. I got to tell you, Maureen, I had gone to every kind of healer.
Patty, you're breaking up. I'm not here. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Good. Yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry. You're breaking up a bit. You know how we break up a bit. I don't know. We come back in molecules. So I'm sorry. Continue on with what you were saying.
It's really interesting when I talk about the mercury poisoning on the radio. The Skype's been getting weird this week. I've had a couple of shows. And
it has. Yeah. You're right. It was really last week for us, and tonight a little bit for us. Something's going on with little. I don't know. You're right. So I agree with you. It's been doing that to us here as well.
See? Well, gosh, so, I wonder if we talk about lollipops and candy canes, we'll be able to.
Yeah, I think so. Last week's show was very difficult for the Skype and also the other phone line thing. That's interesting. You had there's no Mercury retrograde going on there. So
I don't believe in Mercury anymore. I just don't.
But yeah, anyway, I know. Well, I can understand that. I'm really sorry that you went through all that, and I'm glad you did educate some people about that, because people don't really think much sometimes, and it could not happen to them. But that is a very good point that you made. So. Were you on vacation, or were you just traveling around? And I guess because the UK is where you, of course, you've had all the filming that you've done has been over there, correct?
Correct. I went over there to heal my hands. What happened to me with poisoning was I got cuts all over my hands to get my attention because I was a harpist. And a pianist. I was a professional musician, and so my hands were just covered in these open cuts, and I couldn't function in life to save my life. So I went to every kind of doctor, I was saying earlier, every kind of healer. I couldn't get healed. So in my desperation to heal, I had seen these old friends of mine, the ministers at Unity Church, and they had just come back from England, and I was carrying on a conversation with them, and I was just dumbfounded. I was just stopped in my tracks looking at them, and I said, "What did you just do? You look entirely different." And I could tell by looking at them that their energy field was enhanced. It was so amazing, the difference in them. And they said, "We just got back from the crop circles." And I said, "Talk to me. What are you talking about? And they went on and on, and I 6 weeks later, I was there. That's what got me to go to the crop circles.
Wow. So that's absolutely interesting. So you knew exactly when you went to England, you were going to go, you wanted to go check out those crop circles because of the people looking so fantastic, healthy. And so what is it that you found? Is it, okay, so you went and saw the crop circles. I've never seen one myself, except, like, I was on your website, great website, by the way, and I have only seen photos and everything else. You've been in them. And
I've been in
you
a
lay
lot
down,
of them.
Right? You lay down, is it called laying down inside the circles, correct?
That's the way I go. You know, everybody's got their method over there. Once I began, my first year was very, very rainy, and I had my daughter with me, so I didn't lay down the first year. But I went back the second year in 2007 with the intention of being there all summer by myself to do nothing but be in these crop circles. The whole year, I was mystified by what I'd experienced the first year. So in 2007, I went back for 9 weeks. That's a commitment. And I just said, you know, my life was so hard without being able to use my hands that I just surrendered. And I went over there and I said, I'm going to lay in those circles until they either beam me up or fix my hands. I was in such surrender. So the truth is they never fixed my hands, but what they did was I know now they downloaded a whole lot of information, and it happened in the first crop circle of 2007, I'm sure. It also happened earlier in 2001. Now that I know what I know, I realize why things happened. Are you finding that, you know, of course, every decade we know so much more, but that now things make sense to you from your past?
Right. Yes, I understand. Yes, I agree.
So in 2001... I'll just go back there because it's the first time I had an experience where most likely I had a download from a higher dimensional group of beings. In 2001, I had this really neat house in the woods in Boulder, Colorado, and I hand-fed a lot of wildlife. I had a fox that came every night. I had deer and all kinds of wonderful little furry creatures that I would hand-feed. I thought I was Snow White. I forgot I was human. And I started doing this on a very regular basis. For 6 years, I had this house in the woods. And so I felt like I was very much in tune with the elementals. So I had this boyfriend that owned a recording studio, and I was making a CD of my music. And I woke up one morning and he was staying at my house and he was staring with the sickest look on his face first thing in the morning. And I said, oh, honey, didn't sleep? And he just looked over me with the weirdest face and he said, do you remember what you said in your sleep last night? I said, well, of course not. I was sleeping. He told me that I said, it's not what you see, it's what you don't see.
Oh.
So you, yeah, I know, I get what you're saying. I understand completely.
And so, then he said, you woke me up with that one, and then you went on to say, it's not who you know, it's who you really are. So I was completely jumping to get pen and paper because I said, wow, great lyrics, nice dream. And he grabbed my hand and he really had a weird look and he said, oh no, that's not at all of it. And I said, come on, I just woke up, you know, give me a minute. He said, no, there are these two headlights that went across your back hill. And then they curved around and came toward the house and I realized there's no driveway back there, no road of any kind, it's a hill. He said these two balls of light came toward the house. They were white. One of them came through the wall of my bedroom and circled our bedroom ceiling. And he said it went over the bed, totally around the perimeter, and then it went out the hallway and out the lower left room, living room window. And I'm staring at him thinking, wow, cool dream. He said, this wasn't a dream. I don't know what you do here, but... And I don't do anything. He said, I know what I saw. And then the next one came through the wall, and I'm like, oh, my God, I just woke up. Please let me go to the bathroom. But he has my hand like in a vice. He said when the second one came through the wall, it was white outside, and it turned bright green, like one of those glasses.
That's trippy.
And then it went around your bedroom ceiling. He said, I was shaking the bed so hard, yelling, wake up. He said the headboard was hitting the wall, and I wouldn't wake up. So, for 6 years, oh, needless to say, the guy never dated me again.
Naturally. You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because that happened to me when I was a little girl, but it was a green light, a little ball that came, and it's funny you bring that up, and that was when I was little, and now maybe it makes sense why I do the work I do now. So that's really kind of like what you're saying, there was some, all those years, that was 2001.
Yes, and then for 6 years... I was jealous of him. I was always thinking, why him, not me? You know, I'm the one up there in the woods hand-feeding the wildlife and celebrating the full moon. That guy could care less. Why him, not me? Well, finally, in 2004, I went to the dirty dentist and I got poisoned. And then in 2006, I began going to the crop circles. But it wasn't until 2007 that pretty much in the first week I was in England, the head of the research center just put his arm around me and said, you realize you're in the front line. And I said, what does that mean? He said, you're in the front line. You'll get the early call. When there's a new crop circle, you'll be the one in it early, which was really an honor over there. I just luckily moved into the right place at the right time, and they really welcomed me. But I think it was more than the people there. I think that there was a much higher welcome for me, which I really understand more now. So I went to the crop circles every year, other than 2009, and I filmed, I actually just took pictures with a little small digital camera. So my first crop circle where I had the experience in 2007 was on Sugar Hill, and I can still remember the formation because, interestingly enough, there's a brand new crop circle today that almost looks like it, but it also has a star, a big open star in the middle. If your audience wants to see images of the crop circles while our show is going on, of course, go to my website, which is www.pattygreer.com, PattyGreer. And I have libraries of crop circle images. If people in your audience want to see the crop circles that are happening yesterday, today, tomorrow, there's two websites. Should we throw these out so people can...
Sure.
Access. And they're free, which is marvelous online. I'm telling you, in the last week, there's been like one or two every day.
Wow.
And most of them are in England. But a lot of them are in, today there was one in Germany, or it might have been today or yesterday, but it just came to me today. So the websites are cropcircleconnector.com. And the other one is You have to Google Silent Circle UK. And I think the website is silentcircleuk.co. And both of them give you a run of all the crop circles that are happening this year. And some of them give you free access to the archives of all the crop circles since the 1980s. And there have been hundreds and hundreds. The amazing thing is that people don't realize the crop circles are real. They're happening still. And they're happening a lot. And they only happen in the summer because of the wheat.
Well, Patty, why is it that you lay down? And what's the benefit if you're laying down in this crop in a crop circle opposed to not, let's say?
Well, you know, I think for me, everything has been very intuitive. My whole experience has been experiential. When I first got there, I had never looked at a crop circle book, watched a video, nothing. I went there, lay down, and started learning that way. What I realize is that that time when I had my out-of-body experience in 2007 in the formation at the base of Sugar Hill, I lay down in that crop circle, and I don't know why I lay down, but I do know that when I enter the crop circles, I can feel the vortex frequency shift about 20, 30 feet before I even get in the formation. And usually the people with me all notice it also at the same time. Your hair stands up on the back of your neck and on your arms, and you got goosebumps head to toe. And we experienced this last year, and then we all stepped out backward and went, okay, we're out of it, and stepped back in, and we all went, whoa. You know, it's like you can feel a shift.
Right. So there's a difference of the energy. It's almost like there's a containment inside if you're inside of it, is what you're saying. Their energy. The energy is definitely different than if you're on the outside of it.
Correct. And this is even 20 feet outside the crop circle, which is what makes it very interesting. It's not just in the formation itself. So when I enter them, right when you get up to the opening where the wheat is all of a sudden swirled down to perfection and it's almost like not a hair out of place, and when they flow into these walkways, it's like looking at water flow. The wheat lays so beautifully and artistically. So, you know, there's that initial shock of the paradigm shift, the frequency shift, whatever it is that you step into. You called it the containment, which is really a cool word. And then when you get into the actual formation where all of a sudden you see it, it's just breathtaking because it's so magical. And there's an energy that's just really vibrant and zzz, it's like buzzy. And so your whole system feels really shifted when you're there, when you're inside the containment area. Mm-hmm. And I always found myself, now that you ask, I've never said this on a show because I forgot, but I would always bow before I enter to really honor the formation.
Wow. No, that's interesting. And I'm sure there's something to that. Well, that makes some sense, especially from the experience you had from 2001. Maybe the, I mean, it's like honoring. You're honored. You know, I've been wanting to ask, well, like I said, everybody probably wants to hear this, but I find it hard to believe that there could be so many. But how can you tell if it's not a man-made, human-made?
Well, the human-made ones are rather obvious because they, when you bend down and dig through the wheat, it has a lot of broken bends. And they're broken where they bend the wheat over with their boards and ropes. When you go in a real crop circle, number one, you get zzz. You can feel the zzz, which I think most of them are real. And when you bend down and look, it's really fascinating that they have these what's called bent nodes or blown nodes where the stem of the wheat, it goes up, and then all of a sudden, whatever hit it with this perfection to lay down and swirl in perfect divine order, it heated up the wheat quickly to where it blew a bubble and then bent just perfectly. And the only thing they can compare this to is a microwave. So hundreds of thousands of pieces of wheat are hit with this heat at the same time, but they all lay in different directions if the design asks for it to be so.
Right.
So when I had my out-of-body experience, I was laying in that crop circle for quite some time. I passed out. I nestled into the wheat, very comfortable. And when I opened my eyes later, I had a swirling bunch of mosquitoes over my nose. So I took my hand and I swished them aside. And then I saw something else. And this is when I knew something happened. And it was that day. Once the mosquitoes were gone, I kept swishing because I was seeing what I consider now to be plasma beings. Something between, they talk about density. They go solids, liquids, gas, plasma, light. So the plasma is somewhere between gas and light. And what I started seeing in the sky that I thought was only in the crop circles and completely mind-boggling were these kind of clear, round, moving things in the sky that look almost like flying donuts. And you can see the outside borders, but they're clear, almost like a jellyfish. When you're scuba diving or snorkeling and you can see the jellyfish in water, you can see through them usually. But they're there. It's that kind of density. And a lot of people see them now. Whenever I talk on the air, let me give a quick lesson if I may.
Yes, absolutely.
Have you noticed yourself when you're outside, sometimes you'll see these little white glints of light everywhere?
Yes, I do, actually. I know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. In fact, more so recently, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Good. So when you go outside next, and this audience, really try this, because not try it, do it. Almost every group of people I've taken outside, almost everybody says, oh my God, I see them. We can all see them, it's just we don't know to look. So when you go outside, do not look directly into the sun, of course, but look into the blue and the white. Relax your eyes until you see those little white moving things that most people can see. And a lot of people, you know, minimize it. Oh, it's just dust on the lens of my eye or blood in my eyelids, veins. It's not.
They're floating. They're like floating is what they look like to me.
Yes, but they move more abruptly. They're kind of like jig-jag, rather than floating calm, aren't they?
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up because it's been happening to me, interestingly enough, months in the shower, like, and it's almost like I can see them on the from the side in a, without looking my on the side.
Right. Okay, good. You're good. So you see them.
And yeah, yes.
In my opinion, which is all I have to go on, and I need to just state that, you know, I always come on speaking from my heart, and I know that David Wilcock trains us to always say, it appears as if, or in my opinion, you know, just so that we don't purport that all of this is true, it's only true for me what I'm saying. So what I see is not only those little white things, but when I relax my eyes to go beyond those little white things, that's when I start seeing the plasma. And these plasma things, once you start seeing them, they are everywhere. And they're not moving, you know, like blowing in the wind, like dust. These things are moving with intention, and they are like the white ones. They have a real sharp and crisp, direct movement. And the more you look, some of them are clear on the inside, clear on the outside circle, but many of them are dark on the inside and clear on the outside circle. Another thing I see in the sky, I'm just saying this so that people can be looking for it because you will see them. It looks almost like in the shape of a snake or a worm, and it's in the density of a gas slick. Have you seen those?
I don't know. What is that gas? How would that look?
It looks almost like a gas slick in the sky. You know, when you look on water and there's gas, it kind of makes
marbling
kind of rainbow thing. Well, I've been seeing those in the sky. So if everybody after this show goes and takes a look outside, you will all have your jaws hanging because these things are everywhere. And the more you look, the more you see. And if the first time you go out you don't see them, that's okay. Keep looking, because all of a sudden you'll be relaxed, you'll be sitting out on your deck, and you will start seeing these things. So today's the first day that I think I got an answer. I've always had a feeling as to what I think they are, but now that I'm watching, I choose to not watch news anymore. I don't read newspapers. I don't read magazines. I am choosing to not do the typical press that's very misleading now. Instead, I'm doing internet, Facebook research, you know, to get a little bit more honest information is a nice way to put it. So I read a lot of channelings, and I'd read the Matthew books. And today that somebody sent me one, and it just nailed this, because what they said was what I've been thinking, which is, in my opinion, when we see the balls of light over the crop circles, I believe that they are little satellite ships coming off a bigger spaceship, if you will, a mothership that's way up in the sky beyond our visible periphery where we can't see it, but they send down these little things that are less overwhelming. And I think that the plasma beings that I'm seeing, these round things, are like vacuums in the sky. I actually have a very serious feeling that they're cleaning up our sky from the chemtrails. I mean, I believe that our ET brothers and sisters are really working with us now. I don't think it's any big myth anymore that they are amongst us. But again, 95% of the world or 30% of the world, I don't know what it is, are still sheeple. They still don't have a clue that we have ETs acting amongst us. And I believe they are.
What do you crop circles, it sounds to me like the crop circles are a major big connection with what you're talking about, the extraterrestrials, as so everybody will understand what we mean by this. Pretty much, yes? The messages?
The crop circles are almost like sticky notes from the ETs, extraterrestrials, in our fields of wheat and barley and corn and oats. And why they're putting it in fields is because, number one, they hope it will last 2 to 3 months. And in the course of this excitement of people, that a lot of people like myself will get up and pay an airplane pilot to fly us around and take photos of the crop circles and then share the information. And here's what we believe. We believe that the crop circles are messages from these higher dimensional beings, and that the crop circles are giving us the information subliminally, subconsciously, through sacred geometry. The thing about sacred geometry is that it's a very relaxing image for the mind, because typically it is symmetrical. And so when the mind looks at an image of sacred geometry, it relaxes enough to access whatever the message is. Again, this is just my opinion, but they're giving us these beautiful images that we want to look at, that we want to stare into. And so we're getting the information. And a lot of people will look at the same crop circle and see something completely different from the other person, and everybody's correct. My belief is that they're giving us the information, and then it's up to each of us to take in whatever we can due to where our frequency, vibration, spiritual consciousness is, that we'll all take it in differently and perfectly.
And then bring it together collectively, which is actually will be very workable then. Correct?
Right.
I mean, is that what you're saying?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they're giving us tools to evolve. They're giving us the most beautiful images that we want to look at. And then if our mind is being fed on a subconscious level, double gift. You know, double gift, because we're actually being given information to help us move into a new paradigm. And I do believe in the power of all this, because when I laid in that crop circle, and then immediately after I started taking a ridiculous amount of photos on this little nothing camera, how is it that I, who knew nothing, came up with, for some reason, most of the, in my opinion, the best images of the balls of light that have been taken yet? And it's my recent movie. Yeah, I mean, I show unbelievable pictures of these balls of light, and when I show them to a lady in England who's had a lot of experience with these actual light balls, she kept saying, "I can't believe they let you take their photo. I can't believe they let you take their photo." It's been really fun.
Well, you know, I find it so fascinating. I mean, I listening to you, well, you know, it's almost like this is what the message is for you. You were supposed to do these documentaries with this, and you know, take photos and film of crop circles to educate, well, to bring it out to the world into people's, you know, awareness, self-awareness. And don't you think that kind of makes sense? Like you said, you had no experience or anything. It doesn't matter. It was part of your mission. Well, unbeknownst to you, but...
Right. I was there to heal my hands. I wasn't there to make movies. I never knew anything about making movies, so that was the last thing on my mind. But once I got there and started going in different formations and other formations and then flying over them, I was completely out of my mind excited, and I wanted my kids to have it and my friends to have it and everybody to have it, the experience. So after I went to probably 5 weeks of crop circling morning, noon, and night, I mean, wore myself out, hurt the arches in my feet. I went to a symposium in Glastonbury, which is where most of the crop circle speakers would meet once a year and have a seminar. So I found that most of the speakers were people I kept meeting in the crop circles. So I saw a film crew that was filming that seminar, and I thought, I have to take this, some of this back to America. So I hired the film crew, for no reason, to come and meet me for a day in Wiltshire, which is where all these crop circles are happening. And he came out, and we filmed a solid 8 hours that was completely amazing. And I came home and made a movie within 6 months.
Didn't wow,
plan on, but made a movie.
That's getting down to business right there.
So here's how I know that I was chosen to do this work and mm-hmm. that he really wanted me to take this seriously. I got to the end of editing the first movie. Now, I've still never read a book or seen anybody else's movie on crop circles. My first movie is called The Wake Up Call. Anybody listening? And it was completely divinely guided how all this information came and how all the right people walked up at the right time. And it just worked. But I got to the end of the movie, and I made an hour and a half movie, very long for your first film. And I got permission to show the Oliver's Castle famous footage where the balls of light go over a field of wheat, and boom, the crop circle happens right before your eyes in seconds, and then they float away. Have you seen that footage?
No, I was looking on YouTube. No, I have not. I'd like to. It sounds fast. No,
it's the only footage that anybody has ever gotten where they didn't. Most people, when they're in the presence of balls of light, it is said that they are paralyzed. They can see, they can think, but they can't reach out and hit play on their camera, and they can't scream.
Oh, wow.
It's a really interesting paralysis that did not happen to my boyfriend in 2001, which was really interesting. So these beings, for some reason, stayed with me, and when I finished the edit of this first movie, Knowing Nothing, I put in the Oliver's Castle footage. Now, if people want to see this footage, it is in my first trailer on my website, again, www.pattygreer.com. And all my movies are available on the website. The movie's called The Wake Up Call, anybody listening. So you'll watch these balls of light circle over a field of wheat, and they lay the crop down in a matter of seconds. And it's got a variety of circles around a center circle and lines going out, and it happens before your eyes. So the science world has torn it apart. A lot of the world says, oh, my God, somebody finally filmed it. And the rest of the world says, oh, it's fake. It can't be real because crop circles aren't real. And it's like, yeah, why don't you walk with me in one?
Yeah, you know, Patty, we're going to just take a quick commercial break of sponsor from psychicaccess.com, and we'll be right back, everybody.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Right now, hello and welcome back with Patty Greer, and we're talking about crop circle phenomena, and she's the woman to talk about it with, Patty. I think I might have interrupted you in the middle of something, but I did want to ask you, though, from what I understand, most of the crop circles are by very, like Stonehenge, very scarce sacred areas. Isn't that correct?
That is very true. We wonder, a lot of people ask why there's so many crop circles in Wiltshire, England. And Wiltshire is an area that has Avebury Stone Circle in the very center. And that is the oldest stone circle in all of Europe. And off to the east is Stonehenge. And off to the west is Glastonbury. And in between are all these different sacred sites and mounds and Silbury Hill and all these places where people have walked across Europe for thousands of years to celebrate with their ancestors and have sacred ceremony. So the area has a very amped up spiritual energy to it. Plus, it is huge, vast farm fields, and there's a lot of water there. So when we look at the analyses of the crop circles, when we have a map laid out, which is called a ley line map, and that's where somebody has taken and made lines between each sacred site to the next, we realize that most of the crop circles are sitting over a ley line. And we realize that most of the crop circles are sitting over an aquifer, which is a pool of water. So there's something very symbolic. And if you think of flying over an airplane, in an airplane looking for a canvas of where to put down an important message, you wouldn't go to a city where there's nothing to lay down. But when you find this vast area of farm fields, it's very tempting. When it has a high spiritual vibration, that also draws in a lot of this energy. So I think that's why there's been more crop circles in Wiltshire, England than anywhere else in the world that have been documented. But they are happening in Italy and a variety of different countries. Italy, Germany, Holland seem to get quite a lot other than England. The United States gets very few.
Yeah, I did read about that. We don't get all the good stuff. But Brenda, are you there? You have a really great question because we were talking earlier before the show started. Brenda?
I was listening. Now, I'm not real clear on what you feel these entities, are they from another dimension, do you feel? Or because as we know, there's more than one dimension around us. Or do you feel that they could be like from another planet? I mean, I'm not real clear why they're coming and doing this.
Variations of an answer of that. I've heard people even say, people I really respect have said, they are us in the future. It's hard to tell. I don't know where they're from. I don't know who they are. But what I do know is that they've been working me. And they've been communicating with me. And I like to be there every year. So I don't really have the answer to that because I don't know who they are. But what
Have you ever asked them if they have a name or anything? That would be interesting, huh?
I have not. I've been more present in the experience rather just laying there almost like an empath rather than a questioner, you know?
So they obviously have great healing powers then. They're advanced healing skills.
They didn't fix my hands, got to tell you. I had to come back to America and finally get the right test and do a year and a half detox, which I'm kind of at the tail end of. So they didn't heal me. But they gave me a gift that completely distracted me from what was my problem.
Ah, okay.
So in this interesting first movie I made, I knew nothing, like I said, and I don't mean to keep saying I knew nothing, but I just didn't study other people's work. What happened was I said to the editor, let's put in the famous footage where you can see these crop circles lay down. Unbelievable. So he lays it in, and I said, now slow it down and show it to me backwards. He said, what? I said, reverse it. Show it to me reversed. He said, okay. He shows it. And I said, now slow it down. He said, how slow? And I said, I don't know, 30%. And he looked at me and he said, why'd you say that? I said, I don't know. Just do it. So he slowed it down and reversed it 30% slower. And right there before my eyes, locked a frame. And there it was, a band of communication directly between these two balls of light. Right there. In a full frame, on film, so I show it in my movie, and for some reason, probably an hour and a half long movie with so much information, I brought it in again because I said, I need to do another crop circle movie, so I did another movie in 2010 called Crop Circles 2010 Update, the wake-up call. This one's only an hour, and it just begins, bam, in your face. Those balls of light taking the field down, and then I reversed it and found the communication. In my opinion, I have clearly proven that those balls of light, our conscious, did communicate and laid that field down before your eyes.
Wow. I'm going to definitely watch these documentaries that you did, definitely, because that's remarkable. Well, that's fascinating, and I'm open to everything. It's like, all I know is I don't have a belief system. I just know what I know, and I find there's something to these crops. They're so unbelievable, right. And what, you know, the scarce geometry of it all. You know how everything is just so.
Well, actually, you're saying something close to a word that they use over there, which is geomancy. Geomancy. It's like a form of geometry, but it's almost the art of geomancy is what they call it. So here's the weirdest movie of all, is my most recent one. And this one, I went to England in 2010 with my wonderful boyfriend at the time, and I said, I'm leaving the camera home. I have made 4 movies. Oh, my God, they're expensive. The distributors are stealing all my money. Sorry. And I can't keep making movies for free. So I'm leaving the camera home. He said, no, let's bring it. I'll put it on my back. I said, I'm so not making a movie. Do not let me make a movie. I mean, this is funny. I said to him, I don't know what happens when I get over there, but they just throw it at me, and the movies just happen. So we start going into the fields. Beautiful summer, 2010, and we're playing in the crop circles, and we found probably the most amazing one I had ever seen, absolutely to die for, in Avebury Truslow. There was a formation, I have a photo on the website, of just one of the centers. Each center out of like 50 or 60 different centers was different than the next, and like a masterpiece of art, and that field wasn't there the day before. And these crop circles, some of them can be 1, 2, 2.5 acres of laid down pattern. I mean, they are not small. So we go in this really incredible one, and I just said, we got to get here tomorrow morning before anybody comes in the formation and film this thing, and I hope nobody wrecks it overnight. So we got there at 6:30 in the morning and had the most amazing start of our day. And then we headed over to the Crop Circle Research Center, which is called the Silent Circle. And we're sitting there having coffee, and they see these two guys stumble in, and they looked like they were drunk. Their face was really red. They were staring at the ground, tripping over their own feet, completely not with it. And I got up and I said, hi, do you need some help? And they were from Belgium, and they were really delirious. And they sat down, and the guy said, oh, what I saw last night. And I said, oh, please join us. So he sat down, and my boyfriend went in and got them coffee. And they proceeded to tell us the most shocking story that over there, they said, has ever been told. What this guy said was, we were up on the hill, and we heard these French people talking, and they were very excited, and they woke us up, so we came out of our camper van, and they told us that they had seen these orange balls of light over East Field. And he said that they stayed in the air for quite some time and hovered, and then they just disappeared. And then they came back again, and these guys were completely out of their minds, so excited. So they go running down the hill after the French people came back to their camper. And they said within 5 minutes, the orange balls of light appeared again. But what these two guys saw was really amazing. They said that out of a doorway came illuminated light beings with arms, legs, and a head. And these people... Belgium watched these illuminated light around these balls of light. And he said, my eyes don't lie. It's just my rational mind that tries to find a rational explanation. And I'm completely dazed. I said, I'm not making the movie, but can I interview you?
I think you have those interviews on YouTube as well. I think are some of those people...
Yes, that's the guy. I'm glad you saw it. You can see he's just staring. He's delirious as he says it.
So, I saw it.
So we got them coffee, and then he says, oh, there's the French people. I'm like, I'm so not making a movie. French people walked up. I said, did you really see this? Oh, yeah, yeah. We don't know what it was, but we saw it. And the man had, you know, a white outfit and an orange yogi scarf and a silver beard. These weren't crazy people. These were very eloquent, conscious, first experiencers. These people, you know, weren't used to it. They said, we don't know what it was, but we saw it. So both of them saw the same balls of light, but only the guys from Belgium saw the illuminated light beams come out. Really astounding story. So I said, I'm not making a movie, but I'm going to interview you too. So the next day, my boyfriend and I head to a friend's wedding in Glastonbury, and about an hour out of the area, we stopped at this beautiful crop circle called the Roundaway Formation. And we climbed the hill, and I said, let's just leave the camera in the car. Of course, what does he say? No, I'll carry it. So he's got the camera, and we get in the formation, and there's this beautiful family from Belgium and three little children. And I thought, oh, well, since we have a camera, I wonder what kids think about crop circles. So I asked the family if we could interview their children, and the mother said, well, they only speak Dutch, but I'll translate for you. So we set the kids down, and this little beautiful five-year-old girl with blonde ringlets and big blue eyes, looks like one of those spirit children, she looks into the camera and says in Dutch that her mother translated, I don't want to talk about this crop circle we're in. The other day, we were in a crop circle in East Field, and I communicated with the orange balls of light that were there.
That's something, especially kids talking, you know, it's truth. It's truth.
And then she goes on to say, they told me the formation wasn't done yet. It's going to get bigger.
Oh, wow.
Okay, she's talking about, so on camera I go, this is July 30th. This child just said it about July 29th, 2010, that she saw blah, blah, blah. And so then that night we go to the wedding, beautiful wedding. Afterward, we're at a restaurant. We get put at the end of the table with this guy from Holland who says, ah, yeah, I do automatic writing. And I said, what does that mean? He said, spirit takes my hand and writes through me. I said, really, have you written anything interesting lately? He slaps his book on the table at the restaurant, just happened to have it. And what do I see? The first word was orange. My boyfriend stepped on my foot, and he said, this can't be happening. I looked at the guy, and I said, what is this? He said, well, the other day I was in a crop circle in East Field. Boyfriend steps on the other foot, and he goes, you aren't kidding. I said, I really am trying not to make a movie, but they just don't let not make a movie. So this guy goes on to say, the first thing they told me was that they were orange. And I said, so I asked them, are you the orange beings? And they wrote the word yes. And both these words are written there. And there's also this sketch of the crop circle with other elements. And he said, yeah, yeah. And they told me the crop circle isn't done yet. They're going to make it bigger.
Jeez, that's incredible.
I said, I can't tell you why, but can I interview you after the wedding? So I've got him on film. So the movie's called Four Stories, One Event, Other Worlds. All of these people had a similar experience on July 29, 2010. And sure enough, the next day, the crop circle was bigger. And 3 days later, the crop circle was really big, which you saw in my trailer. I just gave it to them in the trailer.
That's incredible. Well, see, there you go. There you have it. I mean, really, you can't deny anything going on. Something's going on there, obviously. You can't deny that.
So I think for all of us that are open and intuitive, need to have a new answer, which is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the opening lines of the movies, and I'm only continuing to talk because I know we're almost out of time. The opening line of this new movie, they woke me up at 3 in the morning with these words, and I kept trying to go back to sleep, and they wouldn't let me. Most of the downloading happened between 3 and 5 in the morning, where I'd get all this information and I have to get up and write it down. But what they said was, which I really love because it's how I live my life, they said, the world of greed and corruption has faded away and humanity has moved into the higher dimensions. Humans are now dealing with the balls of light and higher dimensional beings, and many of us are seeing them. And boom, we go into the movie. And that movie.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that.
Other Worlds. It's so over the top because, I mean, I can't deny it that it's real. And when I realized that none of those people had taken photos because they were all sitting there in shock, I realized that I had taken photos 2 years before, along with my night watch friend Monique from Holland. And sure enough, she and I had the photos of those orange balls of light. And Monique had close-ups of the balls of light where you could see the doorway where the beings came out, which is completely outlandish. I couldn't believe I have photos this amazing in the movie. So I sent these photos to all of the people in Holland, Belgium, and France. And all of them wrote me back immediately and said, those are absolutely what we saw. Those are them. Where did you get those photos? So the movie's real, that's all I can say. And it's 4 stories, 1 event, Other Worlds, and that's at www.pattygreer.com.
Yes, and you know, by the way, your website, I spent a lot of time on your website, and it's very informative, and you have some fabulous, you have some videos, and I saw photos and everything, everybody listening out there. Also, your website will be on your guest page.
Great.
For people.
Thank you.
And, you know, we're out of time, Patty, and I really enjoyed this because you really, well, you answered a lot of things that I know, but it all I don't use the word resonate, I just don't like it, but I identify with what you're talking about. And I would love to, and I will do this someday, I would love to go to and experience this for myself as well.
Well, it is, the farmers are getting a little less kind. The early years, they were all good about it, but now that a lot of the researchers are bringing tour groups, I mean, that's great because you get to see the crop circles, but the farmers are starting to mow through the fields and put up angry signs and come and yell at people in the circles. And so it's a little tougher now than it was, and that's why I say for $20 you can sit back and watch it. And the camera work that we did was all in the fields on our knees, or in the airplanes on top of the crop circles. So I highly recommend people get over there if you can, and all balls to the walls. But to find a crop circle, you need somebody to whisper to you how to even get to it, because they're in these obscure farm fields in the middle of nowhere. Directions being, you'll see a tree with a broken branch, and then climb over the fence there and count 5 tram lines to the left, and just keep on going.
So basically, really, what I suggest is watch these movies that you've done, because that's the next best thing, really, because you've got some really great footage on these, absolutely, that are not fake. They're not. And you can, you know, as far as you can't challenge it, even if people would try. And even the YouTube videos I saw, I can see that. Well, Patty, I really thank you so kindly, and I have a lot of respect for what you're doing, and your knowledge is incredible, of course, and I really appreciate you sharing your insights with all of us tonight, and everybody will be listening to this over and over again on the archives as well.
Great. Well, I do want to remind everybody to get outside and to start noticing those wonderful little things that are dancing in the sky, because the more you relax, the more you will see.
Yeah, and we are waking up. Well, I'm woken up, but yeah, people are, pay attention.
Yep.
It's a good time coming. Well, yes, and thank you, Patty. And I really do appreciate you coming on. I learned a lot more, and you're fantastic.
Well,
thank you.
You're fantastic.
Thank you. So, for more information about Patty Greer, please visit her website at www.pattygreer.com. Her contact information is on our guest page, her guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com as well. So there you have it. That was fantastic. And I think, Patty, I'm sorry. I said goodbye. Patty, goodbye.
Goodbye. Have a wonderful
evening. And thank you so very much again. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed this a lot, and I might be contacting you again to see about something else. So,
good. I'm available, and I really want to get this information out there, because it's really an illuminating time, and instead of focusing on all that stuff that we really don't want to focus on, we need to have faith again and realize that we do have our little ET brothers and sisters. There are higher dimensional beings all through our society, strewn through the government now even, to help us clean up this planet and take it back, because I think that we're going to get our planet back. Amen.
Definitely. Okay, well, good night, Patty, and thank you, and have a lovely weekend.
Thanks, you too. Eyes to the skies, everybody.
Bye, Patty. Okay, that was interesting. And, you know, everybody, like I said, that her website's fantastic. You should go check to make a few announcements. I'm echoing. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics here. We will announce the call-in number later on in the show, so be sure to have your pen, pencil, paper ready. If you are unable to catch any of our shows from previous weeks, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows. Well, I already said that. On PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives links with everybody you know in life and their animals, friends, and families. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so be sure to share that link with others. Now, last week we had Bobby's show. We're rescheduling. I think, Bobby, is that going to be coming up, the next show that you're doing?
Yeah, I talked with him, and he's definitely going to be coming on the show. But that's not is that August 9th or August?
Yeah, August 9th. Yeah, because we paid. So August 9th, everybody, from last week, if you were here, you know, it was okay. It was what it was supposed to be. So August 9th, we'll look forward to that show. And so be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal, reincarnation, to the how-tos of psychic development. I think I've even read something on crop circles over there, too, as well. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them, and also videos. You can look at them and hear them speak, and to choose from a list of the most authentic gifted psychics around. And it is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access, which he's a direct reflection of that, because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here, Brenda, Bobby, and Steve, and myself, are all on. Well, all of us here are on psychicaccess.com. So if you'd like to contact us for a personal reading, please feel free to do so at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. And you can also get a free reading if you're, you know, brand new. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more information and details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. So, if you'd like our show, again, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room. We have a great chat room. I've been into enough chat rooms to say this. It's one of the best ones I've seen and experienced. And you can listen to the Psychic Viewpoint there and interact with everybody. It's a lot of fun. And there is something for everybody. So please spread that word out, and we'd very much appreciate that. So I will give the call-in number for the readings at the end of the show is, I think I might give it out right now, as a matter of fact, so here it goes. It's 724-444-4851. And here comes the fun time, bantering. I like that word, bantering, or sparring. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Lori.
You're so... You're so quiet. I was going to pull you into it because you're the one here from England, and I wanted to know if you ever been to any crop circles over there since you're from there.
I've seen some. I remember in the summer I used to drive from North Wales down to Hampshire, which is in the south of England. Hampshire's to the, or Northern Hampshire, I think it's to the east of Wiltshire. But You do occasionally see them, even driving along some of the main roads, or what we call the motorways, which you call the interstate. But I remember once I had to drive from Hampshire to Surrey, which was to the east of Hampshire, and I decided I wouldn't go on the motorway, I would go on the country roads, and I saw an enormous crop circle. It was really breathtaking. So you can see them, and many people do see them. I don't understand why there are so many in the UK. I know that there are obviously the ancient sites like Glastonbury and Stonehenge, but I remember seeing a video on YouTube a while ago of the Royal Air Force being called out because of a UFO sighting, and that video was very good evidence of the reaction to a UFO sighting. But I think now that the central office, the governmental office, there was some organization responsible for monitoring and reporting on UFOs, it was actually closed, I think, a year or two ago.
Wow.
But there were sightings over London and over other big capital cities in the world just last year.
Really? So you're saying in London there were even, because she was talking about, because usually in the farm, you know, you need more land to put out. So what I hear you saying is over in London, where it's a city, there was even someone saw a crop circle over there. Is that what I heard? Is that true?
Not crop circles, but UFOs were seen.
UFOs, okay, I got it.
On video as well. You can see the people stopping in the streets and looking up. If you go on to YouTube and search for London UFO sightings, you'll see the video footage. It's very good.
And I hear your cat's doing meow. He's going, I've been in the crop circle.
He wants to put his two cents in.
He never stops talking. He's not happy because it's raining. He wants to go outside.
He wants to put his two meow meows.
Hey, Steve, give that YouTube address again, or whatever you say. You're saying it's on YouTube.
Just search on YouTube for
London
Crampton. No.
You forgot to put the infamous. Okay.
Search on YouTube for London UFO sighting, and you'll find it there somewhere.
You know, that'd be interesting to find too, you know, because of what are the dates of certain things of when the crop circles. I find it, I guess all you people in the UK have it made because you have all the fun stuff going on there, crop circles, but I don't know. Brenda?
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Greetings. Well, you know, I have a theory about that as I'm listening, you know, and I'm thinking about, you know, Stonehenge and all those ancient sites, and, you know, it's possible, you know, that that's part of the aliens, you know, their history too, because if you think about it, because the Egyptian pyramids can be seen from space, you know,
right.
And then on Mars, there happens to be, there's a crop circle that matches one that's like on Mars.
Right. You know, yeah, I remember hearing about that.
And I don't know if it's it may not be in wheat, it could possibly be in dirt or sand or whatever the surface is on Mars, but there's one identical one that matches from that planet. So it could be that they're returning to places of their own ancient heritage.
You know, that's interesting. That's an interesting view. I like that.
Well, it makes sense because every ancient culture has a story about spacemen coming and coming to Earth, and that, you know, people from the sky and the Native Americans, and, you know, and just about every, and then there's those sand drawings in Arizona,
right,
and all that stuff, you know, so these are, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, you know, are those sand drawings, are those, now I thought I've seen photos of that, those are large circles, are those considered, they wouldn't be considered crop circles because
they're not in wheat, but they're
they're
very similar.
They're geometrically speaking,
geometrically, except the one that looks like the horse.
Right,
that's interesting.
Yeah, in fact, I would consider those, even if it's just the design. They're crop circles, but they just are called crop circles because that's what they first came. Oh, whatever, the wheat and stuff, but. Unlike you're saying chalk or something, but the dirt circles I've seen, I guess it's called dirt.
So perhaps the aliens are returning to these ley lines in which, you know, this is where they go to. This is their landing patterns or their doorways, and, you know.
Yeah. I don't find, you know, it doesn't seem to me that it'd be that easy to make handmade, and it would seem to me that you could kind of tell the difference. Bobby, what do you think about that one? Think you could make one of these by your hands? I mean,
Yeah. I actually have power breath like Superman, and I just
dragon breath, right?
Yes, so I just do that.
You have a little stamp pre-made that's huge. So no, really, what do you think of crop circles, Bobby? I mean, do you
love them? I mean, it's one of those things. Ever since the In Search of television programs when I was growing up, it was always crop circles, UFOs, Bigfoot, you know, extraordinary things that got me, that I've always been interested in that I can date back, you know. Everybody's mm-hmm. always saying, did you know that you were psychic? But it was always a fascination with all of these types of things. I saw that video that she was talking about. I'd seen it, you know, a couple of years back where the orbs come down, but then there were so many things that also came out that said that people were debunking it, or the person said, I'm the one that made that, and they would show how they did that. And so who's to say if it's real or not? It captured my attention, and I can certainly resonate with, I'll bet that's the way they do it, or, you know, that type of feeling. Like, I know this guy may have made it, but I think he must have, you know, that's how they really do it. But I just want to say that, for whatever reason, with all of the abilities that we have, you know, I can tell you who shot JFK, you know, all of this kind of stuff. But I'm always, every night, I go outside and look up. I'm always doing the UFO thing because that's my next journey. There's a guy that summons UFOs, and they call him in LA, and he holds these meetings where he summons UFOs. And I go to those things, and I've not seen anything yet, and I'm always looking up. So when she's saying how to do it, it's like, I do that. I relax. Okay, calm, meditative, look up to the sky. Nothing, man. Come on.
Well, maybe if you just go thoughtless and every, just
I do, I,
go
I,
out
I,
your...
I,
but
I
maybe...
But, I do meditation. You know, everything. Gosh.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, I think I think when I was 3 years old, I remember she said about that light. It was a greenish blue light that came in when I lived in Vegas, and it came. It was a trip. Well, years later, I was told, who was it? My niece that went to some psychic or somebody, something like that, said that I had been abducted, and I had been whatever, probably at a young age, and had all need to be rewired. I don't know what to
whatever.
But you know, I don't know, because I don't know if I had experienced, because I always look up at the sky, and I've always laughed whenever I was a kid. I always talk about I wasn't from this family of the mothership's coming, mothership. And there's something very fascinating, but those crop circles are so beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, the beauty of them.
They're like star maps. They're supposed to be.
Oh, they're beautiful. Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to. I was going to have a chance. I've got a friend who lives in Wiltshire, and I was going to go into a crop circle, and then my flight to London, everything ended up being canceled. So I didn't get a chance to do that, but that was definitely going to be one of my stops, just to feel the vibration of it all. I totally believe in UFOs. I totally believe in aliens. I know they're here. Everything. I just would like to see one damn one soon. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, well, you know what? I'm going to say, I'm going to make it so.
Oh, I get that reference.
Captain Picard says, make it so.
You know, at our gathering last Saturday, I got to talk a little bit to Marina Sirtis, who was Counselor Troy. Totally. Right. That was one of the highlights for me, too.
Oh, you did? Oh, wow.
Yes.
I got to give her a reading.
I know. I was going to ask you if you did. You told me you were going to. Did she mention me? Did she say anything about me?
You guys are so...
Because who is that Bobby? Oh, my God.
I know, right? Oh, yay. You could tell me about it.
He's so, like... Well, I can't really say it.
Did she say dreamy? Did she say dreamy? I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Dreamy.
I'm a board game that my dream boyfriend.
She was very nice, and she gave me an autographed Star Trek picture of her daughter.
Oh,
cool. Is that? Well, that is really cool. That goes with what we're talking about. Oh, I like that. Wow, that's no fair. You know, I was watching that earlier today. I watch on Netflix, by the way. I love all the... I love that stuff, and I feel like I belong. Voyager, you know, Enterprise.
I dreams about it. I think about it. It's my whole life is UFOs, really. Yeah.
If anything happens to Bobby and we don't hear from him, we'll know something.
He'll know.
He's gone off elsewhere. He's gone back home to where. Bob, I don't want to lose you right now. You just go for a ride, maybe.
All right, I'll be back.
Hey, Brenda, what about, you know, this is a good something, because, you know, you and the Egyptian and everything connection, the pyramids and crop circles, with the pyramids. I know you just touched a little bit on there, but the geometricness of it, everything is...
The geomancy. She was talking about the geomancy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's all sacred geometry. You know, it seems to be. It's just a common thread that goes through all these ancient civilizations in regards to their contact with aliens. And one of those common threads is sacred geometry. And that, you know, they talk about, you know, who built the pyramids? How were the pyramids built? They've got all these theories, but they've never been able to duplicate the pyramids. They were not built by someone of this earth. If you go there and you see them, I mean, it is so awesome the way they're put together, so precisely, that it's not a technology that we even possess now. This is something that I believe that was created from their contact and knowledge that they brought from another planet, you know?
Right. You know, it's interesting because she was bringing up, like, she did not, you know, like, when we were in L.A., someone asked a question, and I said, well, listen, I didn't pick this work for me. This is what I must do, my work. And it sounds like with what Patty was talking about, it's like this is what led her to do what she's doing and presenting it out there. I mean, this is not something she had personally. So,
well,
I think
they could be, you know, ancestors.
Exactly. And getting the message out and getting the insight out or getting the knowledge out or information.
And the Babylonians mm-hmm. believed, because they had those ziggurats in their temples, which were the top part of the temple, in which was a doorway for the into the other dimension, and the people from the other, you know, the from outer space or the alien race would come through that, and they would you know, like, crossbreed with humans and stuff like that. And it's just so fascinating, her talking about communicating through these beings. I mean, who is to say that they didn't tell these people how to build the pyramids or how to make these monuments? Do you know what I mean?
Right, I agree. It's like everybody, all the long time ago travelers that were here way before us are all in cahoots.
They're in their cahoots, and they're still around us now. They're just in another, we're not able to listen, you know.
Well, we're waking up, and I think we do have to pay attention. Well, you know, I'm trying to pay attention more to things.
Yeah, snap out of it.
Snap out of it. Jump out of it. You know, the proof's in the pudding, though. That's like I say, I have an open mind to everything, but a skeptic on everything. But good point. Good for you for traveling over to Egypt and doing. Well, that's okay. You'll go next year. I'm predicting this.
I got a different passport.
Maybe by that time, maybe you can transport over there, like through.
Yeah, like Star Trek.
Yeah. I'm just obsessed because I've been watching that a lot. You know, like in the background, Toot, beat me up.
Yeah, beam me into the Grand Pyramid.
It's all your molecules, but it won't matter because we're all just beings. Now I'm going to go into a tangent, but thank you, Brenda. You know, we have come to that part of our show that we all like. We will be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Once again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So please relax and you'll just be listening to the show. You'll hear it while you're waiting. It's not that you're just in limbo land. So, also, very important, please be very clear and direct with your question. We can only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls waiting, and also give you a much better shed light on whatever the situation is, a direct question, because of our time restraint on there. So with that said, I think we have a call for Steve from Wisconsin.
Thank you, Maureen. Who's calling from Wisconsin? Wisconsin, are you there?
Ooh. Hello? Oh, hello?
Hi, who's calling?
Hello?
Hello, what's your name?
Michelle.
Michelle, how can we help?
Hi, I was wondering if you could give me some insight on where, if you think my current relationship is heading, if you see it staying the same, or do you see anything changing in it or different?
Let me see. When I tune into your relationship, Michelle, I feel as though I've been turned upside down. And when I get that feeling from my guides, it's a sign that the relationship's out of balance. It's so, almost the wrong way up. So I feel that the two of you have lost balance in the relationship, and I feel that that's not recent. It goes back quite a number of months. I would say 9 or 10 months that you have been feeling uncertain in the relationship. And I also feel that even though you're still in this relationship, you feel hurt. There's this feeling that you feel let down in some way. And I feel as though that's affecting your outlook on life. And my guides are giving me a sign that also shows that it's jading your view of other parts of your life, particularly your career. I feel as though there's some lack of balance around money as well. I feel that there's a concern over money that complicates things as well. Are you disagreeing over money matters?
Am I disagreeing that there's a problem or whatever with my career or with money?
Well, are you in your relationship, is money part of the issue? Because I feel that money is part of the problem.
Not right now. It could be, but
okay. Well, keep your eye on the balance, the financial balance, or the balance of responsibility between the two of you, because what I'm seeing is this lack of balance between the two of you when it comes to finances and your material contribution. It's difficult, Michelle, to advise people on relationships because it's largely your choice and your partner's choice, but I don't feel that the two of you have really communicated well and addressed the issues that you're experiencing. It's as though you've had difficulties for some time, and the two of you haven't really made progress in addressing those issues. So you do feel stuck. And from what I sense, if the two of you don't communicate better and actually openly address the difficulties and the tensions, then the relationship will continue to go downhill. But if you want to make it work, then you've got the opportunity to really communicate clearly and say what does and doesn't work for you and listen to your partner. But if you continue as you are, I don't feel it would work out. The other thing I want to say to you is I'm getting a sign that there's a communication or an opportunity related to your career that's coming as well. So I feel in the next 2-3 months there's a positive communication or an opportunity for you in your work, which I feel will help you, but it's not going to fix your relationships. The two of you have got to start communicating and try to move it forward. As I said, if you leave it as it is now, it's going to deteriorate. That's what I feel.
What do you see changing in my career going towards? Or do I need to do something towards it for the relationship, or do something towards it?
For the relationship or for your career?
Well, I don't understand. You've brought that up twice now about my career.
Yes. Yeah, what I'm saying is, on the different subject from your relationship, I do feel strongly that there's an opportunity, a new opportunity that comes up for you in your career, and it feels 2 to 3 months away from now.
Okay.
Okay. So I wish you luck, Michelle. I know relationships are challenging, but if you do want to make it work, then communicate openly, authentically, directly, and see if you can move it forward. As I said, if you leave it as it is, it continues to deteriorate.
Okay.
Well, I wish you lots of luck.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. That was nice reading. Bobby, North Carolina for you.
Hello. North Carolina.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. You know, thank you. Nobody ever asks how we're doing. They just, you say, hi, how are you? And they just immediately go into their stuff. So, thank you. Do you want to hear about my day or anything too?
I like to make sure we're all doing good.
Can I tell you about my week and my day, or do you just want to go into your stuff now, probably?
I'm calling because I'm seeing this guy, and we've been seeing each other for a couple months, and I know I can feel it really hard that it's going in the right direction. I just want to know, is it, and is it going to last? I feel like it is, but I'm so close to it. That's what I want, you know?
It's tough, isn't it? Yeah, when you're really close to it, you know, you feel it, and then it always just helps when somebody else says, yeah, I feel it too, and then you're like, okay.
Right.
It's always tough, isn't it?
And I'm
but
a little
I think so. I think it is heading in the right direction. It's gone fast, and I think it will continue to go fast over the next couple of months if you're okay with that. In other words, I would allow it to go fast, but I don't feel comfortable with making a long-term commitment just yet from the fastness. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So the way it feels is that it's like, you know, this can really get into past lives and things like that. But let's say that you two have been together before, and now this gathering that you guys are meeting together this time, all that vibration is catching up to one another. That's why it's going so fast. But don't make any long-term commitments just yet. I'm not saying because it's not right. I'm just saying because we don't want to do it out of this catching up period. Wait until it all gets caught up, and then we can talk about, okay, now from here on out, what are we going to do? Do you see what I mean?
Okay. So, yeah, so you see it long-term?
I think it definitely has potential to be that. I just don't want you to get freaked out because of the really going fast right now. You know, some people can do that, right? It goes, let's just slow it down, they say. But you don't need to slow down what's happening naturally. It's just the catch-up period. And then, okay. Yes, I think that you could go long-term after that. You know, he's changed a lot. Not that you knew him before, but in just the past couple of years, he's really made a lot of changes that he's really ready for a good commitment right now. Hence, that's why you came into the picture. And so I think you both were set up to really move forward with finally a relationship that you can respect. I think it's going to be a little work, which all good relationships are. You know, some people just don't hold hands and skip through the daisies into the sunset. You know what I mean? It sometimes is work. And I think that it feels like a good relationship in that way for me. So, yeah.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Good for
That's
you. Nice job. It's about damn time, isn't
that.
It? It's about time.
I like it. It's about time. I know
you.
I've been through a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, sweet.
Like
well, listen, thanks for calling in, okay?
I'm sorry. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Fantastic, Bobby. And Brenda, New York, for you.
Hi, New York. It's Brenda.
Hello?
How can I help you? Hey, how can I help you?
Hi, yes. I called and I spoke to a woman like back in June, and my question was about depression, but she told me there was a loss coming into my life. And I guess the first part of the question is, I'm kind of having a relationship with a guy on Facebook, but he's also 20 years older and married, and I'm curious if she was talking about this one guy, and the follow-up question is, there's something fishy about him, and I can't really figure it out.
All right, let's take a peek here. Let's take a peek. Well, the first thing that I get from him is that, you know, he loves to flirt, and he's flirting with you. There's something going on between you and him. And this is a lot. I'm not saying that he's a bad person, but I do believe that he likes to tell women what they like to hear. So I would be very cautious with him, because I don't feel that, first of all, he can't do anything about it, and he's not going to leave his wife, and he's, you know, he's not only talking to you, he's talking to a couple other women, too. So you need to be aware of that, okay?
Uh-huh.
So in that sense, I don't believe that he's the one that was foretold to you. I feel that somebody else is still coming in.
Okay.
But one of the important lessons here with him and the communication that you're having with him is he is opening your heart to love. But he's not the one. I do not believe that he's the love. And I, you know, at some point you're going to get tired of his games. Seriously. And I know you're suspicious of him, and your suspicion is because you're kind of sensitive. You could even have a little bit of psychic ability of your own. And you know he's messing around. And that's what he's doing. He's messing around, and he's talking to other women. He's telling them a bunch of stuff. I mean, I wouldn't take it seriously. I really wouldn't. Doesn't feel real.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you straight up. It just does not feel real. It feels like he's doing a lot of this out of ego, and this is a game, which is not good, because if you get attached to him, your heart's engaged, and then what? See what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay.
Well done, Brenda. Thank you. And there's a caller for me from Wisconsin. Hello, Wisconsin. How are you? Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, and I hope you're doing well. What's your name?
My name is Reed.
Reed, did you say Reed?
Yeah, okay. Like you read a book.
Oh, okay. Oh, Reed. Hi, Reed. Reed, thank you. And what can I help you with?
Me and my wife are really looking at buying a house. We just were wondering, more me and her are wondering, what could you tell us about a timeline at all about it?
Okay.
And possibly where?
Okay, so I got your question. So you're looking, you want to do this, but you're kind of, okay, this is what I'm getting. I'm seeing that it looks like recently you may have gotten some not so good news regarding your search for a home. I don't know if it has to do with, you know, like sometimes you get pre-approved for loan or whatever you can handle or what area you want to live in, and you might need to be a little creative. And so that's not going to stop you, which is good. But is this something this has been something that didn't come through for you, or it wasn't workable, maybe it looks like last summer or something. But I'm feeling like this is a home. What I'm seeing is you're looking for a home that is like for a deeper meaning. It will be your lifelong home.
Yeah, and that would be.
Yeah, and that's really nice, because a lot of people kind of like do this or that one, and they get this home or that home. But I think that's a really good intention, putting that out there. I do get that you're not waiting around for the perfect one. So the thing of it is, you know, Reed, I am seeing some issues around working-wise. So, you know, when you're working and you want to buy a home, you need to keep working, you know, financial things and all that. And I do see that there are some things that need to be dealt with. You're carrying a lot of burden on your back with work. I'm just seeing there's some work stuff going on with you. Do you follow me? So.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so as far as the home goes, I see absolutely a home, and I think, like I said, the intent is absolutely wonderful. The way, like I said, it's for a deeper meaning. It's going to be one that you'll be in forever, and it's really lovely. But I feel that it'll be a good 5 months or more before you'll find exactly what it'll work out as it should. But like in the meantime, I think you really need to be careful about taking too much on your back. There's so much on your back right now, and I see it going on that. It's overwhelming. So the timing is just not right. But I absolutely see that you will attain what you want. And the last thing you want is to get into a home that you feel you just must, is that, because that's not what your intention is anyway. So,
right.
Just I would just flow, you know, flow with it. I do see you're going, the motivation so good, and not too many people I see this with in a home situation. But it will take a little bit more time. I'm looking at 5-7 months.
Okay.
And like
well,
I said, be careful about taking too much on your back, especially with this work. But I do see, and if you rush the, and this, the way I read this, you always have, you know, you have choices. I do feel that you may be, you may come about, there may be something that will present itself, like a home. I don't feel it will be the best one at the time, just because you want it sooner. I would hold out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow me? It's fantastic, though. I see you're really going to find, within 9 months, I do see a home, just the one that's supposed to be just right, that the one that you do desire. It'll be very good.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, Reed, and have a great evening. Thanks for calling in.
You too. I'm fine out.
Bye-bye. Okay, so now we have a caller for, I think it's Steve from Virginia.
Thank you, Maureen. Who's calling from Virginia?
Hi, Steve D. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Your name's D?
Yes.
Hello, D. How can I help?
I have somewhat of a complex question. Well, it's complex to me. I have a traveling partner, and every time we come around and we plan a vacation, he kind of MIA. He did it again. And we were working on our vacation for next month, and he said, okay, I'll look into it, and I'll give you a call Sunday or Monday. Have not heard from him.
Okay.
I don't know what is really going on, why he does this.
Let's see. I do feel that he says what you want to hear. Now, you're not in a relationship with him, are you?
No.
I when I pull the card, I see the lover's card. Now, I feel that he's involved with somebody, and whilst he would like to travel, his circumstances are changing. Has he told you that he's involved in a relationship with somebody?
To be honest, Steve, I don't think he's involved in a relationship, and if it is, maybe it's something fairly new.
It does feel recent. It doesn't feel like he's done anything wrong, and it doesn't feel as though he's lied because he's been involved with somebody for a long time. And as you said, the two of you are not in a relationship. You're friends that travel
right.
together. But I get this feeling that he's not telling you the full story, and that I feel that he's met somebody. That's what I feel it's about.
Okay. But this is not the first time he's done it, though. I mean, the thing about it, we used to date before, and I decided that we're better off as friends, and we have a great friendship. It's every mm-hmm. time we plan a vacation, I mean, it's like that, you know. You kind of pull away for whatever reason, and then I'll reach out to him and say, what's going on? And he's like, well, you know, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. And the trip, you know, the vacation will still take place. It's not that we've ever planned a vacation, never gone on a vacation. But
okay.
This is the pattern, and I think that's where I'm a little concerned to see what the deal is.
Well, he's, you know, in terms of his character, if you were to look at his astrology, you'd find he's got a lot of air. My guides keep on showing me the symbol for air in astrology. So people that have a lot of air are, you know, driven, they're bright people. He's a man that's intelligent, that reflects, but you can't always rely on him. So he can
right.
be airy, he can be flighty, so he'll say that he's going to do something and not necessarily follow through, as you've said. I don't feel that he's doing that to hurt you, but equally, it's something that you should call him on, because you obviously want to make your vacation plans and know that you're going. So again, I don't feel that he's intentionally trying to upset you. I just feel that this is his character. He's a bit flaky. He's not always reliable. But there is this issue of there's this feeling that he's met somebody, that he's involved with somebody, and that potentially complicates his commitment to going away with you as well. That's what I see.
Okay. So do you still see the vacation taking place, or is it just a null and void?
I feel that you can go on vacation, absolutely. But I feel that you need to...
Well, I'm talking about us going together.
You need to address the issue.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Steve?
I feel that you can still go on vacation. I don't feel that it stops you traveling, but I feel that you need to be more direct about the issue, because it's not very respectful to say to you, oh, yes, we're going on vacation, and then not to follow through. And also, if he's your friend, he should feel that he can be open with you about things. So I feel that you need to address it with him, but I don't feel it means the end of your friendship or the fact that you would not go away again.
Okay. I'm just to the point that I am kind of sick of it, really, because mm-hmm. like I said, this has been the behavior, and once I reach out and say, is it always still on? We end up going. It's and we have a blast when we do. You know what I mean? But it's the pattern. So I don't know what to say.
Well, you either address it with him or you put up with it. It's as simple as that. You either put up with this and this is the way it is, or you address it with him. And my guides are saying that you should address it with him. If something's bothering you, it's right to be open about it.
Right. Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Dee. And Bobby, call from Florida.
Hello, Florida. How are you? From Florida, are you there? Hello, hello. Someone on the line from Florida. If you're from Florida, speak up.
Sing. Okay,
I'm going to crawl back into my hole now.
No, you can do a show tune.
Show tune.
We need a show tune. We need fun.
Callers from Florida and Ohio.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Oh my gosh. Hi.
Anyone from Florida? I'm from Florida.
Are you?
Can you hear me?
It's, yeah. How are you?
Oh, okay. I'm good. And you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. What can I do for you?
Can I put you on hold for 1 second? My mom is also calling you. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, and sure. Yeah, we can hold.
Okay?
Yeah, okay, sure. Live show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Not a problem. Okay. tell mom Bobby said hey.
I wasn't expecting this. Okay, my name is Angelique, and I have a question. I wanted to know a little bit about Bob and how he works.
What was the first one you want to know a little bit about?
Love.
You just said it with such grandeur. Love. And work.
Yeah,
well, pick one, because I might be able to get to both of them, but just in case, what would you like to start with?
Let's do the love part first.
Let's do the love. Okay, are you in love? Do you have somebody? What is it that you're wanting to know about love?
It's complicated.
It always is.
It is always complicated, right?
It always. Love is just, you know, or at least that's the way we make it. It doesn't have to be complicated, but we always make it complicated. But yeah, go ahead. So tell me real quick.
I met this guy 1.5 years ago, and we are still good friends. We had a relationship, but then we kind of separated, but then work-wise and friendship, we still stayed together, so to speak. And he said that it was not the right timing at that moment, but he thought we would be good together for each other, and he's working on things, and, you know, one day we will be together.
Right.
And then a month ago or so, I met another guy. Well, that is a little bit difficult because he's really nice, I really like him, but he is married. So that is a complication, and he said that he you know, he wants to leave his wife and all that stuff. He wants to leave her for a long time already, but he never had the guts till he met me, and he says, well, I would be the catalyst for him to kind of be strong and move on.
Okay.
You know? So I'm a little bit in limbo where to go. I don't want to break up a marriage for sure, and, you know, I like to live with certain principles, but I like to know which one is the right one to go with.
All right. So the way that the whole thing works, the only reason, again, we make it complicated is because we want something from the other relationship. In other words, you meet somebody, you have feelings, you connect with those feelings, and the feelings are just what they are. Sometimes the outside circumstances don't allow you to continue to feel those feelings all the time. In other words, for you two to be together, for you two to get married or live with each other or whatever it is that you want to do, outside circumstances are keeping that from happening. So that's the only reason it gets complicated. Otherwise, you feel what you do for him and he feels what you do for you. There's nothing complicated in that. So much like Steve was given a reading earlier and said that you're either going to have to make a decision of either staying with it, knowing that it is the way that it is, or leave him and pursue elsewhere. Because I don't get the feeling that he is going to leave his wife or that he wants to leave that situation. Do you see what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
I think it's a partial truth. I think like when you came along, I think that you know, you may have sparked something inside him, and then more thoughts came of what if I left my wife, but not necessarily I'm going to leave my wife. You see what I mean?
Exactly. That's what. Yep.
So I think that's it. He's not lying about that. But again, you're going to have. So you have a choice. It's pretty cut and dry. You can either continue to feel the way that you do, which is nothing wrong with what you're feeling. You guys feel the way that you do, and you'll either continue on that way, but you drop all expectation of him leaving, you two being together, this is going somewhere. You have to drop all expectation and just completely live in the connection and the feelings that you have for him. Or you can, again, understand that I can have feelings for this man. He has taught me a lot about relationships, what I want, how comfortable I feel with him. You know what I mean? Like you feel very comfortable with him and good friends and that type of thing. And now that you can take that, you realize I can have that and then move on to a relationship that is more beneficial, more mutual, something that we can bring something to the table. We can be together, both of us. And still have felt something for this guy. You know what I mean? It never has to be, wait until this one, see what it does. Maybe I'll end up hating him and then I can move on. No, you can always, you can love and move on to somebody else. Just because you love somebody doesn't mean it's appropriate that they are in your life or that you guys are supposed to be together. You know what I mean?
Right. But do you feel anything about the first guy? In other words, two guys. One was 1.5 years ago, and this one is actually the married one is actually a month ago that I met him, and I really like him. But you know, the first guy, I want to see if you feel anything with that.
I feel that you have turned your attention more to this guy who's married, and so I feel stalled out when it comes to the first guy. In other words, there's not enough attention being paid to it to see where it goes. So I think it's just going to continue to kind of stay as friends because nobody seems to be doing anything about it. It's like, okay, we're friends. Let's go do this. Maybe friends with benefits. We just do this. But there's not any talk about making that better or expanding that into anything else. It just seems like it's stalled out. You see what I mean? So until we put time and energy into that, or again, time and energy into I'm going to start deciding what's best for me. Because, you know, part of the reason why you stick with these guys is because some of them kind of tell you what it is that you want to hear. And I think you are not afraid, but, I mean, hesitant to go forward and look elsewhere. You know what I mean? For the type of guy that you want.
It's actually funny because the one from 1.5 years ago was actually the one that I thought he was the one in my life. And actually, I still think, and it's funny because all of a sudden a week ago, we were actually talking, and he said that it's pretty much, you know, now is the right time, and he thinks, you know, I'm the one for him, and we need to talk in person and go from there and things like that, you know.
Okay, so did you do that? I mean, if no, you had, if we wouldn't be having a conversation even about the second guy who's married. You know what I mean? Right. That's why I'm talking about it stalled out. He may be wanting to come up to the table and move forward, but it doesn't feel like you have.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's just stalled. It's not, nothing's moving forward. So that's what I'm saying. You have to decide, and you could. I think you guys could have a good relationship. You could decide to move forward with him, but apparently there was something about you that just didn't, because you're still asking about the second guy who's married. You see what I mean? So it's not, maybe it's just not there for you.
Right. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, but again, I would, here's what spirit guides are saying, okay? And then again, you know how it's always up to us, right? We're the ones that take the path, and we've talked this out, and then I'm going to have to get going because we have another caller. But so spirit guides are recommending that you leave both of these guys alone. I think that the friendship should stay just a friendship. I don't believe, from what I'm being told, my guides are saying that it's not necessarily the first relationship, this friendship with him. I don't think he has decided that you're the one. I know he said all of that, but I don't think he really knows what he wants. I think he's just clinging and puts that out there because he's hoping that he can grasp onto something. But he's trying to make some decisions and choices in his life, which is great. But I don't feel what everything it is that he said to you. And then as far as the second guy, the one who's married, they're recommending that you don't really pay attention to that one at all. And so I think it's time for you to set on your own path, separate from both of these, and decide the type of relationship that you want, because I think you know what you want in a man. I think you know what you're looking for. And then go forward from there.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for calling in and listening to the show.
So
we appreciate it. All right, sweetie. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bobby. That was lovely. And Brenda, you have a chat question. You could read it if you have it there.
Okay. It's from Magdalena, and she wants to know when she's going to meet somebody new. Let's take a peek here. See what's in store in the area of love for Magdalena. Well, you know, this is interesting. The very first card I pulled shows a man, and he's a self-starter, and he's somebody who, you know, I see him as a business owner. He's kind of an independent guy. He's the type of man who catches your eye. He may appear as a friend first. you're going to be a little bit cautious when you meet him, because he has kind of a dynamic personality, and you know, you don't want to go into it too fast because you're afraid you're going to get hurt. It's immediate future, so I feel that within about 30 days, this man's going to enter. And don't be blinded by your experiences from the past. I feel that you need to open up with this person. Yep, the happy union. I'm seeing that right in the immediate future for you. So you're about to meet somebody before the end of August. And this could be somebody that, you know, the two of you, it'll, when you mesh with somebody who's kind of on the same level as you, you know, it makes the both of you grow in certain ways. And I do believe that this is a very beneficial relationship beyond just the love. It looks like there are things that you could do together. Even things in the financial arena as well. Oh, and I'm also seeing a dread around you that you don't want to hear from somebody from the past. Well, the funny thing is that right about the time you meet this new man, someone from the past is coming back in. I wouldn't get too excited because I feel that this is all part of closure. This isn't something that's going to be coming back for any purpose. It's about him and him trying to figure out kind of what he did to mess up the relationship. So the energy of love is around you, Magdalena. It really is. I feel you're going to be in control this time. And I feel that the radiating energy of love is around you. It's kind of a karmic situation, too, because you've been in kind of a slump or a lull in the area of love, and I believe that the purpose for that is so that you meet somebody that you have a connection with, like a soulmate type of connection or a past life type of connection, something that's fortuitous. I'm also seeing that the place to meet this guy is going to be through work, although he does not work with you, is what I see. I hope that answered your question.
That was lovely, Brenda.
All right.
You're welcome. I say thank you. I'm sure Madeline will too.
I'll go to the chat room and see what she has
to
say.
I think that it was very well said. Well, direct. Okay, you know, well, this is it. This is, well, this is the end of this show only, not next week's show. But
well, it's the end.
I'm going to start singing The Doors now, okay? This is the end of my life. Yeah, thank you to Doug, who works behind the scenes, and actually he's in the chat room from time to time as well, and keeps us on course with the chat room and as our executive producer. And I would like to say thank you to all the co-hosts, all the billion co-hosts, all my three co-hosts for joining me tonight, and everybody in the chat room, thank you for coming. Next week's show will be anchored by the one and only Brenda.
Hey!
Hey, what's up for next week?
The Art of Scrying. Crystal ball reading, Black Mirror, all types of and forms of scrying will be discussed.
And that sounds fantastic. I can't wait for that.
It's going to be fun.
I will be here.
You better.
No, it does. It sounds like we've never had a show as of yet with this, and it'll be really, I think it'll be really an eye-opener for a lot of us. So I say my goodbye first, I guess. Goodbye. Good evening. Good night.
Goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.